For our scripture reading, we open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. And I will read this brief chapter from beginning to end, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen, rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake." Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift from God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. So far, these wise words the Holy Spirit gave to Solomon and written for us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. For our text, verse 12, the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tomorrow is Labor Day. A day when we remember the working man and woman of this country in a special way. And we think about the tasks that God has given to us, to each one of us, that keep us busy day by day. And as Christians, we are reminded that prosperity comes to us not by accident, not by chance, but by the blessing of God upon our diligent work, upon the work of those who faithfully labor. As Christian people, we can especially profit from Labor Day because we are blessed to know that our work, whatever that work may be, whether it is work at home, whether it's in an office, in a factory, in a school, on a construction site, whatever our work may be, it is a gift from God. It is a blessing that the Lord God bestows. It's an opportunity for us to use our physical and our inner strength in a constructive way. We can use our time and talents to work, and so we bring a benefit to ourselves, yes, but not only to ourselves, to our families, to our community, and to the kingdom of God. We Christians know that God has placed us here in this world to work. Even in paradise, when God created Adam and Eve, when they were there in the beautiful Garden of Eden, God gave them a task to do. They didn't sit around in idleness. God told them, tend the garden. That was their work. And though now, because sin has entered the world, though now we work by the sweat of our brow, and I can assure you on a summer Sunday, ministers do that too, we sweat. Still, no matter what our work may be, there is a dignity and worth to what the Lord God puts before us to accomplish day by day. By our work, we gainfully use our time, which otherwise would be wasted in idleness. By our work, we find a purpose in life, otherwise we would sit around being bored. By our work, we put bread on the table, and we can bless the kingdom of God with our offerings. It is by our work that all of us together as a human race fulfill the Lord God's command to have dominion over the earth and to subdue it. Well, if all that is true, and I assure you it is, why are so many people here in Canada disappointed and frustrated at work? Why do so many really regret the time that they have to spend on the job and long for idleness? Certainly, it is one of the most troubling social problems here in Canada today that people are dissatisfied with work and will try to avoid labor in any way possible. People have trouble with work because, Solomon tells us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, they are working for the wrong reason. So many people are working in the hope that somehow, some way, by their work, by hook or crook, they're going to get rich. And then they'll enjoy life. And so Solomon says in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, verse 4, their work is based on envy and greed, and consequently it becomes vanity, emptiness. It's a striving after the wind, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes many times. And Solomon also notes here in chapter 5 that those who do become rich also have some severe problems that are very difficult to overcome. As he says in verse 8, the rich are prone to jealousy. In verse 10, they have to wrestle with a love for money. And in verse 11, they live out their life in fear that they're going to lose all that they've gathered for themselves. All these problems arise when people are working for the wrong reason. Whereas the man or woman who puts in a good day's work and is satisfied with a good and fair day's pay, such a person knows the blessing of work and avoids those disappointments and frustrations. And in a real sense, because contentment does come from the heart, it is only those whose hearts are right with God, it is only the Christian who truly knows that kind of contentment. Solomon, in our text, speaks of the contentment that believers have, that we can find in our work. And he speaks about work and sleep, which is a very interesting combination. Now, at times, we joke among ourselves that on Labor Day, most Canadians, probably most of us, have a day off. On the day that we celebrate the fact that God has given us work, a job to do, a task, we have a mini vacation. We take our rest. But as I studied our scripture portion, Ecclesiastes 5, as I read over the words of this chapter very carefully, I thought, maybe it's not a bad idea at all to have Labor Day as a holiday, as a day of earthly physical rest. Because Solomon, here in this section on labor, he speaks about, he remarks about, inspired by the Spirit of God, he speaks about the laborer and sleep. That's how our text begins. The sleep of a laborer is sweet. When God created this world and our first parents, Adam and Eve, he created within them, within Adam and Eve, certain desires, which are natural to all living beings. Hunger, for example. Thirst. A desire for companionship. A need for rest. And the Lord has established that these desires stop when they are fulfilled. For example, hunger stops after we have eaten. Thirst stops once we've had something to drink. And our need for rest is satisfied after a good night's sleep. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and sin entered this world and the whole of creation, these desires became corrupted. And that which God made good and a natural part of creation became all twisted around. People became insatiable, never satisfied, never content. They wanted and they want more and more and more. The human race, apart from God, lost the spirit of contentment. Greed and selfishness entered the picture. And the result is these natural desires have become the breeding ground for sin. Hunger gives rise to gluttony, thirst to drunkenness, the desire for companionship to immorality, and rest exchanged for wild living and unease. The Lord Jesus came into this world to conquer sin, to set right what was overturned by the fall. The Lord Jesus has also reestablished for us, we who believe in him, a right order for our natural desires. And Solomon, inspired by the Spirit, looking ahead to the blessed results of Christ's ministry, Solomon could write, "The sleep of a laborer is sweet." Well, of course, you might say, of course. Someone who works hard, someone who has, really exerted themselves all day at work, well, yeah, such a person is going to sleep at night. He's tired. But Solomon is remarking about something yet more. The honest laborer, the man or woman who has done a good day's work and has a heart that is content, such a person is not covetous, not greedy. He does not have these sins eating into them, which would prevent the person from sleeping. Oh, surely, their bodies are tired, but their souls have peace in Christ, so that they can find rest, rest for their bodies in sleep, rest for their souls in the Lord. Whether he has eaten little or much, our text says, that doesn't matter. Whether we are making an average living or at the top of the world, that makes no difference. Because for believers, their hearts are content with the tasks that God has given to them in life. But the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. Another translation puts this, "The surfeit of the rich will not let him sleep." And that's a good translation. But the trouble is, surfeit, though it is a perfectly good and acceptable English word, is not one that we often use in our casual conversation. But surfeit is not just abundance, it's overabundance, it's overindulgence. We can know, and perhaps some of us by sad experience, that a surfeit and an overindulgence of food does not result in a satisfied feeling in our stomachs, but rather it makes us sick. So it is with a surfeit, an overabundance of this world's goods. Now, the Bible does not say that honestly obtained riches are sinful in themselves, no. But the Bible does say, and God does warn us in his word, that just about no one can really handle riches in a Christian way. The devil finds in riches an unending source of temptations with which to plague those who are rich. Riches can easily hurt people, and we in Canada should pay attention to this, because the average Canadian, by the standards of 90% or more of the people in this world. We are rich. And riches can easily hurt people, the Bible warns us, by making us greedy, by causing us to love this world and the things of this world. Riches allow people to very easily give in to evil desires, to oppress others. And one cannot be greedy, a lover of money, a lover of worldly pleasures, and yet still serve and worship God with singleness of heart. That's why Solomon makes that solemn pronouncement that the rich have no rest. They can't sleep because they're so worried that their gold, their silver is going to be stolen. That somehow there's going to be another great recession and oh my goodness, I'll lose my financial investments. That something might happen and, I could lose my earthly possessions. And Solomon is also referring to spiritual rest. Those who have corrupted their honest labor into an all-consuming desire and search for riches have no spiritual rest either because they have no care for God and for what God Himself intends. These are good and important things to think about, people of God, as tomorrow is Labor Day. God has given us today, our New Testament Sabbath, a day of physical and spiritual rest. And tomorrow we will celebrate a legal holiday here in Canada, Labor Day, established by the laws of the land, and most people will have a holiday. And I hope that we will celebrate Labor Day. I hope that we will celebrate it in a Christian manner. Not with excess, not with overindulgence, but with true Christian devotion to the Lord, who has established that we do labor in this world for our daily bread. If you are able to rest tomorrow, do so. Enjoy your restful day off. And yet, in the midst of relaxation, remember that it is the Lord God who truly gives rest. Rest for body and rest for soul. Let Labor Day remind you that as we work 5 or 6 days a week, that in our work we are not serving ourselves, we are not serving money or any earthly end. By our labor, we Christians are serving the Lord. Those who work merely for earthly ends gain no rest for themselves. They don't have that peace and contentment that comes from serving and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't get a good night's rest, even though they gain a surfeit and an overabundance of this world's things. Dear people of God, remember our earthly life is short. And the labor that God has given to us is too important to waste our time striving after the wind, seeking after vanity. Our service for the Lord, wherever that may be, wherever your work is and whatever it is, your labor for the Lord is too meaningful to give up for the vain pursuit of earthly riches. With the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us in the gospel and being our teacher and the Spirit through the word he inspired as our practical instructor, Let us learn, let us gain a true spirit of contentment with God, with our lives, with our work. There is so much joy, there is so much peace to be found in godly contentment. Let us then seek to do a good day's labor, and so we shall enjoy a good night's rest. The sleep of the laborer is sweet. The rest that God gives to those who labor, to those who do their tasks in a good and right spirit, that rest is beyond price. May God grant that we may find rest for our souls this Sabbath day. God grant that we may, one and all, find that rest which his servant Solomon spoke about. And tomorrow, dear Christians, be reminded on Labor Day of the blessing that is to be found in labor and the rest that comes to those who labor well, which they will enjoy as God's own blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, once again we offer up to you thanks for giving us the time, the strength, the energy, the will to do our daily work, to accomplish the tasks that you put before us day by day. Again, we pray for those who are seeking gainful employment, that they may find it. And grant, Lord, that we may not labor for earthly ends, but that as true disciples of Jesus Christ, we may seek to praise and honor you by putting the strength that you give us into doing our daily tasks with a glad and thankful heart. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.